May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. This is verse 11 from John chapter 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know, and we bear witness or give evidence of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. Now we know that we're still years away from the ascension, which happened after the crucifixion and resurrection. But here he refers to some kind of ascension that's already taken place. It says, and no one has ascended, past tense, into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And so Jesus says, he, the one who's descended, in some way has already experienced an ascension. Now he kind of gave insight into this. Earlier in the verses I just read, I'm going to go back to verse 8. He's talking to Nicodemus about being born again. And the word there literally is born from above, born from heaven. He says, do not marvel that I said you must be born from heaven. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel? Not a teacher, but the teacher. And don't understand these things? In the verse I read to you earlier, truly I say to you, we speak that which we bear witness or give evidence of, that which we've seen and that which we've, and you do not know or receive our witness. If I told you earthly things, you would believe, but how should you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And so Jesus is saying, here's the thing about Jesus. We know that Jesus was 100% God, right? But we also know that he was 100% man. And what the church has always believed, what Philippians 2 and other places talk about, is that Jesus emptied himself of his right to live out of his deity. Instead, he came and lived as a son of man, the second Adam, to show us how spirit-filled men and women are supposed to live. So Jesus, in a real sense, was the prototype of the new creation. He was the firstborn, it says, among many brethren. So Jesus, again, and we've said this before, wasn't an example for us just, but he was also an example of us. And Jesus lived his life, though on earth, in some sense, he also lived an ascended life. And he gave evidence to heavenly things. He said, if you can't understand the earthly things I tell you about, how are you going to understand the heavenly things that I give evidence of, that I bear witness of? And so these verses that we've read gazillion times in the past, which to me are so powerful, you could spend 50 lifetimes looking at these verses. In verse 31 of that same chapter, when John is speaking of Jesus, he said, he who comes from above, who lives his life from above, though on earth there's something heavenly about them, they're living from heaven's perspective, they're manifesting heaven's reality. He who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth is of the earth. And speaks of the earth. But he who comes from above or from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, of that he bears witness. Now the word bear witness, it can also be translated gave evidence of. Jesus lived in a realm because even though he was on earth, he was also in the heavenly places. and what he saw and heard from that perspective when Jesus declared the kingdom of heaven's here, then he would give evidence of that. Because he who comes from above is above all. Jesus didn't live under the circumstances. He spoke, and Jesus wasn't a thermometer. He was a thermostat. There's a difference. A thermometer just lives giving, telling you what's going on. A thermostat going on. Influence the environment. So I was reading these verses again in prayer. I just got through spending a couple of years teaching through Ephesians here on Wednesday nights, and now I wish I could start all over again. I don't know if I did a very good job. This is Ephesians chapter 2, talking about who we are as new creations. Stunning. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together in Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and seated us together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, Jesus, when he lived on earth, lived as a man whose feet were squarely on the earth, but also seated in the heavenly places. And what he saw and heard from that perspective, he didn't just bear witness of, he gave evidence of. He demonstrated it. You and I now, because we've been raised up in Christ, his resurrection was my resurrection, that I've been raised up in Christ, I've been seated with him in the heavenly places in him. Hear that again. It may be the richest statement in the history. And even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together in Christ. By grace you've been saved. He's raised up together, but not just raised up together, but seated in the heavenly places in Christ. So you as a Christian, you're not just a normal person. And yet we spend too much of our time in our life allowing ourselves to be thermometers in the world, dictating to us earth, what earth says about things, dictating to us what the temperature is, morally and spiritually and every other way. But we're now in Christ, seated in the heavenly places, and therefore, I'm not going to go to heaven the first time when I die. I'm going to go there fully. I'm going to get a new body, but I'm already in heaven. I'm already seated in the heavenly places in Christ. And therefore, I have access to see and hear what's going on from that realm and to speak that and to give evidence of that into this realm. Instead of believing that I'm governed by all the limitations of this realm, if you notice the life of Jesus, and again, I'm laying out this sort of epic, almost sounds like fairy tale life. When you read the life that Christ lived, it's like this ideology that's like ideal thing. But Jesus, we're called to manifest Christ-likeness. I don't have a right to redefine what that's supposed to look like so that it fits my experience. I'm supposed to adjust to his experience and what the scripture says about who he is. Now, I may not see it fully manifested all the time or yet, but I know that's what I'm going after. I've got to. Jesus wasn't called to Chuck like this. Chuck was called to Christ likeness. I love the fact that he wasn't baptized into my life. I was baptized into his life. That's what it says. I was baptized into Christ. And I'm baptized into his story. I'm placed into his story. And I have some great snapshots of what that story should kind of look like. A person squarely on the earth, but who's heavenly in identity and capacity and potential, who's able to not be governed by the impossibilities of all this. Jesus transcended all that. I'm seated in the heavenly places in him. That's why it says in Colossians, since then you've been raised up with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, because that's where you are. and set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. We've settled for so much less. We're called to impact and make a difference in this world. And we're not going to make a difference by butting heads with the world on the same level they butt heads with. We're called to bring the reality of heaven that we live in and live from. It's not just a perspective. It's the reality that I live in that I'm called to give evidence of in my lifestyle and in the way I impact culture and people around me. I just think that's the coolest thing in the world. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.